This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to our new episode of PTBN's NBA Team Podcast, and this is one of your co-hosts, Andrew Reich, and I'm joined by Adam Murray. How you doing?
I am doing well. Let's get into some basketball.
You said that like it was a question mark at the end.
I'm doing okay. No, I'm doing good. It's a very exciting topic here. This is a very... You know, the follow-up to the...
Yeah, usually the sequel's not as good as the original, but in this case, it has to be because everything we did before this was pretty bad. But I'm joking. I applaud everybody who listens to our episodes. If you have any feedback for us, though, go ahead to our Twitter, at P2BNBAteam. You can hit us up on the Facebook page. You can Facebook me. You can do anything you want there. Tweet me. You could try to tweet at him if you have a dove in a cage and maybe a little piece of paper. But if you have any questions, any feedback, any notes on anything that we talked about in previous episodes, please do so. Thank you for listening. We're actually going to be following up on, like Adam said, on an episode that we had done just recently called The None and Dunners. And those were players that went straight from high school to the NBA. They didn't even bother to go to college because the option was there to go to the NBA. And, hey, fuck it, make the jump. And this one is, you want to call this a sequel? Is it a prequel? Is it like a threequel?
This is one of those rare movies where the first one warrants the second one, because like whatever happened to those guys who did get screwed by this rule, the ones who actually now had to go to pay attention in high school and get their ACT scores up and actually qualify.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, there's a lot of interesting names on this list, really, because if you, you know, one spoiler alert. Oh, no. Horrible. Most of these guys who are the high school top 10. They're the NBA players already, so they probably would have been none and donors.
Yeah, I mean, even guys that stayed a few years after being McDonald's All-Americans, they wound up in the NBA even for a cup of coffee. So
yeah, you don't see guys who are like two-star recruits. They're very rare. Mostly it's just the top guys are in, the top guys are out, the top guys are in the NBA.
So to talk about what we are alluding to, we're talking about the one and dunners. And the one and dunners is something that really – I mean, it's been around for a long time. There's a lot of guys that went to the NBA after only spending a year in college. I think one of the more infamous ones in 1996 was Stephon Marbury. He played 1 year at Georgia Tech, and sayonara, he was off to the NBA. But this really got going, and we're going to delve into this starting at this year, was in 2005 when they had the collective bargaining agreement between Billy Hunter, and who was the head of the players' union, and David Stern, and the agreement that they etched into that collective bargaining agreement and continues to be in future CBAs is that if you are you can only be an eligible player for the NBA to be drafted after being exactly 1 year removed from your high school graduation. So basically, if you want to go to the NBA out of high school, you can, but you're going to have to wait a year, which gave these players the option of, hey, how about I just go to college, learn under good coaches, play against, you know, good American competition, and challenge myself, and then I'll go to the NBA.
Are you telling me that Oak Hill Academy doesn't have the best competition in the world right now?
You mean to tell Alsman Cisse that? Didn't he play at Oak Hill?
Oh, there's a lot of people who came through there.
So. Yeah, there's a lot. I remember one time I think LeBron played Oak Hill on that nationally televised game when he was in high school. And I remember watching the Oak Hill players back then. I was like, man, these guys, these are supposed to be NBA players? I mean, are you fucking kidding me? There's only one NBA player on this court, and that's LeBron. And he was even, right by that point, a marginal NBA player, you know? So it was like, you know, were a lot of guys coming out too early? Absolutely. You like the one-and-done rule.
This is, like, when we go through these names, you'll be like, oh, I remember him at North Carolina. I remember him at Kentucky, as opposed to, yeah, I saw a grainy YouTube clip of him against some bag boy.
Uh-huh.
It gives us
an identity.
It gives everybody an identity. It gives you, we know who you are. We know you can do. You're just not a mystery guy. Like we're saying, you know, and the Nun and Dunners, Kwame was going against Tyson Chandler. And that's how they're basing their workouts off of. It's like, no, I need to see you against players who are good.
Yeah, and the people that – let me say this. We've debated this forever. The college writers that are kind of the old-time tradition, there's a lot of these writers that try to twist the narrative saying that the NCAA and colleges and schools and coaches hate the one-and-done rule, and they don't like the fact that they can only borrow one player for a year, and then he's gone. They have to replenish their lineup. I'm going to just go ahead and get this out the way. That is a bunch of bullshit. Because a lot of those – the college players – first of all, the NCAA as an organization absolutely loves the fact that these elite players, even for 1 year, sniff college because they can sell that jersey. And they do. And the coaches love it. You know why? Because it saves their job, because that 1 year with that player, if they get into the tournament, they get a contract extension. So, and they love it going forward because they can say, even if they spent 1 year at that school, they can say, well, he played for us. You know, you could put that name on that banner if you even wanted to.
Yep. And you see coaches like Calipari who just, they work the system. It is what, you know, you have other schools, oh, well, it hurts us. But in the end, does it really? Because you're getting these diamonds in the rough who are, you know, you have these strong senior classes now. It's better than just having all these kids going absolutely nowhere.
And then there are the players we're not even going to talk about in this, for the most part, in this instance. And that's the players who think they're going to be one and doneers, go to college, get a rude awakening, and realize, I got to play better, and they stay. Some of them stay until they're seniors. And basically, it's a huge benefit for those schools because the one-and-done rule forced these guys to have to enter college, and then they realized how good they actually were or maybe were not, and then they had to play their way into becoming an elite guy. And
exactly. You could have had a lot of these second-round picks. All of a sudden now they could have been first-round picks. It could have been lotteries. They could have had an education. Now you just have, like, you know, James Lang's, well, I'm now forced to go toil around Africa and Asia trying to make a penny now.
Yeah, it would have been so great even if the one-and-done rule was already in when Garnett went pro. Like, we already talked about that whole episode, and you could listen to that whole episode of the Nun and Dunners. It's really, I think y'all really enjoy, especially if you listen to this one. But like, say, like Kevin Garnett went to Michigan, or like Kobe Bryant played in North Carolina, even for 1 year. What's a couple of other examples? LeBron James, if he played in the Big Ten for a year. I mean, that would have been so great. Like, I mean, it would have been, even for that one borrowed year. I mean, Carmelo Anthony was borrowed for 1 year in Syracuse. All that did was win Jim Boeheim his only national championship in his 40-year career. You think he's regretting having the one-and-done rule? Absolutely
not.
Exactly.
That is the case in point. You know how excited Carmelo was for Syracuse?
Kevin Durant's number.
We just drafted this kid, Carmelo Anthony, from Oak Hill Academy. Well, what can he do? I don't know, but he went to Oak Hill Academy. That's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Carmelo has an identity. We know who he is. We know how good he is. We're not going to know that from high school, and that's why I'm not against this rule.
We're going to go ahead and get started, and this is sort of the precursor because the 2005 high school recruits were the last recruits that could go pro. We talked in detail about on the previous one, part one, about those guys that went pro. There were quite a few of them, but there were a couple of one-and-doners in the first round of the NBA draft in 2006. The most notable one was Tyrus Thomas out of LSU. He went fourth to the Chicago Bulls. The other one was a guy named Sean Williams, Shawne, who played at Memphis, and I think he went to the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm not sure about that. But do you have any memories about Tyrus Thomas's 1 year at LSU?
He was just a rebounding defensive shot-blocking machine.
Mm-hmm. He came out of nowhere.
Yeah. But, you know, he wasn't affected by the rule. He just came out because he had that, you know, superb run to the...
Yeah, it was like Hansel and Zoolander. He was just so hot. I'm so hot right now.
Yeah, he couldn't shoot for shit, but, you know, he was super athletic.
Yeah. And then the real big one, and I mean, it was really great timing. It's almost like one of those things where it's almost serendipitous. Like the moment one thing happens, it's like the butterfly effect. The moment one thing happens, another thing happens that directly impacts it. And it was just perfect timing that the first year that the one and done rule directly affected high school classes, colleges, and the NBA was a year in which we had two big time recruits, and one of them was Greg Oden, who was an Ohio high school guard, and he played his 1 year at Ohio State. That's where he committed to. He actually grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana. And then the other one was a DC native, Kevin Durant, and he went to the Texas Longhorns for Rick Barnes. Let me ask you this. Did you think that they were going to be that impactful as freshmen when they got to their schools?
No, because I don't want to say thankfully, but I remember back then I was just like, oh, I don't need to start researching all these obscure guys. I could sit back and actually watch them in college.
Yeah, I could watch it on ESPN. I don't need to like look for YouTube of like N1 mixtape of this guy.
Yeah, you know. I don't need to know who this kid out of Indianapolis is. Oh, he's a beast. Well, let's see what he can do against at Indiana, at Michigan. Let's see him in a real situation as opposed to, oh, well, my mom didn't pick me up yet, so I'm just going to sit here and watch the game. Mm-hmm. I got drama class later, so I'm just going to sit and watch the game.
You went to drama class?
You have high school atmosphere as opposed to a legit college atmosphere. It's just a lot of – it's, different cultures and, oh, well, you're dominating against real competition.
Yeah, obviously, Oden, he actually broke his hand before the season started, and he started out late, but man, he got going fast. He was a great defensive center. He carried Ohio State to the national championship game. To be honest with you, I remember watching that game, and he dominated Joakim Noah, who had won the national title and was the most outstanding player the year before. So even though his career, I mean, we could talk forever about his career when he got drafted by Portland, but I mean, in college, his 1 year, he was so dominant, and Kevin Durant was ungodly. He won the Wooden Award as a freshman, and it wasn't even a debate. He averaged like 28 points and 9 rebounds. He already had his number retired by the University of Texas. It's just an incredible player.
Exactly. He won every single award possible.
Yeah.
And even
when they lost in the second round of the tournament, people were like, nope, who cares? He's still the best.
Yeah, exactly. That's just Texas being Texas pretty much. And yeah. Nobody could really will them past that. Every year it seems like, how are you getting all these good recruits who somehow get screwed up going down there?
Go ahead.
But it's just, with these guys, it gave legit excitement to the tournament again, as opposed to, well, you didn't have Martell Webster, you didn't have Darrell Wright playing for these teams, so the potentially the best guys aren't there, and the tournament sort of lost its luster.
Yeah, Ohio State had a few of them on top of Oden. That's why they were so elite in a hurry. The other one, he was the number 4 pick for that draft, and that was Mike Conley. He went to the Memphis Grizzlies. He was pretty good. I don't think he would have been drafted had he not played so well in the Final Four. Because I remember in the Final Four, Oden got in foul trouble along with Roy Hibbert for Georgetown, and Conley had to kind of carry the Ohio State team, and he played really well. And his dad, who was, I believe, a former player, he was an agent. And I remember he leaned on him a lot on his decision-making, and after losing to Florida and playing really well, he decided to go pro. I thought it was a little bit early, but it turned out to work out okay for him because he's become a pretty good guard in the NBA. Spencer Hawes played 1 year at Washington. Thaddeus Young and Javaris Crittenden, boy, you talk about opposite ends of the spectrum there. They both played at the same college for 1 year, Georgia Tech.
Yeah, and now Javaris Crittenden is playing for the U.S. Penitentiary League.
He's playing with Adam Sandler in The Longest Yard.
I guess. Oh, he's just, texting. He's just sending notes to Ray Carruth about what the hell happened to us.
And, oh, my God.
Oh, it's with Mike Connolly, that whole team just sort of piggybacked on Greg Oden. And, him, Mike Connolly was, he was the 18th best recruit. He wouldn't have gone pro. Daquan Cook I don't think would have gone pro. Perhaps shouldn't have gone pro.
Yeah, that was a bad decision, Daquan.
Oh, all my other freshman friends are going. We're all awesome. Yeah, how's that going? I believe Daquan's like, I think he's in the French league, last I checked.
You remember when William Avery and, oh, God, who was the other guy? For Duke, I remember when Elton Brand went pro, and so did Corey Maggette. Well, then William Avery decided to go pro. It's like, hey, well, if they're going pro, I'm going to go too. And he, I mean, he got drafted, but nobody, he never played.
Well, that's the thing is they all like, well, you know, which this is going to, you know, this will probably be a future podcast down the road, which you'll get into is the, you know, most all these Kentucky kids where one goes, they all go. And what happens if you're the fourth best player on your team? You think you're that good because you're all the hype, but everybody's there, you know, like with Daquan, everybody's there to see Greg Oden. Yeah. And wasn't that draft? I think Turian Green, he might've been a sophomore.
Turian Green for Florida. Yeah. He went pro along with,
He was Florida. I was like, yeah.
Orford and Noah. You're right.
Yeah.
He went second round of the Blazers, and no one ever heard from him again.
Yeah, you get these one players, it's like, well, why did you go? And, you know, like, you know, you have, okay, Crittenden was the seventh best recruit, so he probably would have been none and done. Mm-hmm. Thaddeus Young would have been none and done. Were any of them, were either of them ready to come out? Not really.
Yeah, and just to talk about a few of them that did not necessarily go to the NBA, but were top guys. We use Rivals.com, which is pretty much the most reliable, the high school recruit rankings. And even though there's a lot of them out there, those are probably me and Adam both agree that's probably the most reliable one. One of them that was high was Chase Budinger, who went to Arizona. Wayne Ellington and Ty Lawson from North Carolina. Lawson was an Oak Hill guy. The Lopez twins, who both went to Stanford. And Gerald Henderson went to Duke, Earl Clark to Louisville, Scotty Reynolds, who eventually became an All-American, went to Villanova, John Shire, who won a national title with Duke, DJ Augustin went to Texas with Kevin Durant. He was a two-and-done guy because he went to the NBA the next season, and the other was another guy who went to the NBA after 2 years, and that was Darrell Arthur at Kansas.
Yeah, and imagine the unexcitement with all these – Oden and Durant, who was – okay, who after Oden and Durant is really going to excite you, these, you know, the potential none and dunners? Number three was Brandon Wright, and I've already expressed my feelings on him numerous times.
yeah, but I'll say this for Oden and Durant. They were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. They were like the diaper dandies, you know, galore. Everyone loved them. They were 1 and 2 in the NBA draft as freshmen, and so they were the bee's knees. And I remember in 08, that's when – well, it was really the 07 McDonald's All-Americans where a lot of people were already hyping up, okay, these are the next Oden and Durants. These are the next one and Dunners. And a lot more went to the NBA after their freshman year after that, and they both went 1 and 2 again. Number one was Derrick Rose, who played with John Calipari at the University of Memphis. There was a little controversy about how he got to Memphis. It had to deal with a falsified ACT, but he played. And they almost won a national title, had Mario Chalmers not hit a miracle shot, and John Calipari not choked, and Memphis not missed a bunch of free throws, but that goes without saying. And the other one was Michael Beasley, and I don't think people remember this that well, but at Kansas State, Michael Beasley racked up ridiculous numbers.
Beasley was like the sequel to Durant.
Mm-hmm.
He was just another 6'9 forward who did everything.
A Big 12 stud, too.
Exactly. It's just like, I don't know where this kid came from because, again, I stopped caring. Oh, he's a number one recruit. Okay, good. But let me know how he does in Big 12 action. Oh, he is destroying everybody.
Yeah. And Rose, statistically, he wasn't really killing people because he was on a really deep team. You know, Joey Dorsey played on that team. Chris Douglas Roberts, they had some seniors. It was an awesome team. They only lost one game in the regular season, and then their second loss was in the national title game to Kansas. That was the only year, I think, that all the one seeds made the Final Four. That's how awesome these top teams were. And I think all of them, with the exception of two of them had one-and-done guys. We talked about Rose. The other was UCLA, and they had Kevin Love. Kevin Love was awesome. I think people knew that immediately when they saw him play at UCLA. Did it surprise you, though, that he went pro after 1 year?
Kind of did. I remember actually seeing one of his games on really it was an old HD, HD Net or In Demand TV. It was something they were trying to do, some little sports. They showed this like really obscure high school game from Washington or Oregon. I'm like,
Oregon, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, here's Kevin Love. I'm like, what? Why are they showing this? And I'm like, wow, this kid will be good. And who knew, you know, who knew like a 6'10 kid can make passes like that and, you know, have a finesse game?
Yeah, he was a little portly back then, though. He's a little chunky.
He was a little chunky, but he had a finesse game that was uncharacteristic of someone of his stature.
The other guy with the big hype, I remember this one out of California. He went with Tim Floyd to USC, and that was O.J. Mayo. He was in trouble with the payouts the moment he declared for the draft.
Well, he was already in trouble when he surfaced up in Huntington Prep in West Virginia, and mm-hmm. I remember Tim Floyd got a text message from one of his friends that said O.J. Mayo is going to go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the same. Like, actually, that's the same school Andrew Wiggins went to.
That's just Huntington Prep's another one of those,
funnels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just weird, shady, and, you know, this is sort of the repercussions of the Nun and Dunn. You have, high school sophomores and juniors, Derrick Rose and OJ Mayo going, I'm going pro in 3 years. I'm going pro. I could care less about my grades. And shit.
Even if the progress could have been made, it was almost like they had convinced themselves, okay, I'm going to do this 1 year. I'm going to do this one trek just like Durant did. I'm going to be a star, and then my stock will never get any higher, and then I'll go to the NBA. In some of these cases, like especially O.J. Mayo at USC, I think he would have been better off just staying another year and learning. Another one who I kind of felt that way was, even though the situation had kind of dictated itself with Kelvin Sampson getting fired from Indiana over recruiting violations, was Eric Gordon at Indiana. He was he was good. He had a great career in high school at Illinois. He infamously went to Indiana over Illinois, which earned him a lot of hatred in his own home state. But I think he's a guy that probably should have stuck around one more year in college, even though he was a really good player in Indiana.
Yeah, and you know, just going back to O.J. Mayo, he showed absolutely nothing in college. Mm-hmm. He wasn't dominant, he wasn't good, and it was just sort of the hype of, okay, maybe he wasn't really trying, and maybe we'll tap into that high school potential, which obviously failed time and time again, but, you know, he could have done better, you know, better with another year. Eric Gordon, what can you say? He was number 7 pick. If you make the lottery, you have to come out.
Well,
and then, you know, obviously you're just bitter because, you know, the Saints, not Saints, the Hornets matched the offer. Mm-hmm. Hornets, Pelicans, they're the Oklahoma City Saints.
He proved nothing. He proved nothing in L.A., and he's proven nothing in New Orleans.
Yeah, but but he was a known commodity from then. Like, you
because
know,
of, people, yeah, because of the high school recruiting, yeah.
And after that, if you look at the list of people, there's just a big drop-off after Kevin Love with Bill Walker just riding the coattails of Michael Beasley. DeAndre Jordan fell to the second round because of attitude problems.
Mm-hmm.
Dante Green, J.J. Hickson. I don't even know where Dante Green is or if he even didn't make it 3 years.
I think he went overseas. Yeah, he played that 1 year at Syracuse and then he was gone. The other ones I see, Jared Bayless, he played well at Arizona and then he went pro. Anthony Randolph at LSU, he left after John Brady got fired. Dante Green, he's playing at Al Nassr for the United Arab Emirates. That that is. But you gotta hoop somehow. J.J. Hickson, he's had a decent career in the NBA. He only played one nameless year at NC State. Kostas Koufos, he was another one and doneer at Ohio State as a big man. You talked about Bill Walker. Bill Walker's a bit of a cheat, though, because he classified early to play at Kansas State, and he tore his ACL. So his first year was actually the year before, but he barely played due to injury.
Yeah, so, and then, yeah, he's a redshirt freshman, but still, tore his ACL, and it's just like, well, if Beasley could do it, you can see how good I am with Beasley. And,
yeah. Other guys that didn't go to the NBA immediately after 1 year. They stuck around. Kyle Singler, who was a 4-year player at Duke, won a national title. Johnny Flynn at Syracuse. Oh, man. That's a trivia question right there. James Harden, he was a number 11 guy. He went to Arizona State. Evan Turner, he became a player of the year at Ohio State. And then some curly-haired weirdo from Oklahoma named Blake Griffin. 08 is kind of the one where that was a really strong draft, and it was strengthened a lot by the fact that these guys played a freshman year in college, and then they went pro.
And even with that, again, with people like Mayo and Hickson and
Bayless.
Jordan, it was they didn't really show us much to begin with in that 1 year.
Yeah, 09's a bit of a bit of an odd one because it's pretty bare. There's really not a lot of guys that went one and done. Maybe because the high school class wasn't so strong. If you look at it, the number one high schooler in 08 was B.J. Mullins. even though he was one of the one and doners, he went he was the number 24 pick in the draft. Number two was Drew Holiday at UCLA. He was a one and done or two. DeMar DeRozan. I remember DeRozan at USC not playing well until the postseason. And then in conference tournament time and NCAA tournament time, he really upped his game, boosted his stock, and then he went pro and was drafted by the Raptors.
Yeah, he just had like a good three week run, which, you know, I think a lot of it could just be USC was sort of like Texas, where you have these good players who just sort of get squandered by the coaching and by the staff. It was just he never stood out either.
Yeah, Brandon Jennings is a little different because he came from Oak Hill. He was going to go to Arizona, but his grades weren't good enough. So he took the rare task of going overseas and spending the year there and learning while he was waiting his turn to be drafted by the NBA, because he obviously wasn't going to be able to be eligible to play in the NCAA. So I don't remember what team he played for overseas.
Automatica Roma.
Is that in Greece?
Roma?
Oh, is it Rome?
Rome, Italy?
Oh, that place. My geography's terrible. Yeah, Jennings played there. He got drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks. He caught fire fast because he scored 55 points in his seventh game of the season. But it's been downhill from there for Brandon. But I think if he had played that 1 year at Arizona, I remember watching him in the McDonald's All-American game. He was really good. I think he would have been awesome at Arizona.
He probably would have been better at Arizona because, you know, and with the thing with the EuroLeague, it's a different style. If you've ever watched their games, it's a lot slower. You're not playing 30 minutes. Like, you're lucky to get 15 minutes, especially if the coaches know you're a one and done. They're not going to – they didn't really give him more attention.
They're not going to invest in you. Yeah, that's
exactly
true.
Exactly. You know, what can we tell? Like, even, like, you look at these, like, top European prospects. Well, he played 20 minutes and he averaged 8 points. He's the best in our league.
Well, he said Ricky Rubio was no good. That's what he said, because he played against him.
Yeah, and to be fair, he's no good. So you're not really the best judgment of talent there, Mr. Jennings.
That's true. He shouldn't be a scout. The other ones that didn't go directly in the NBA after their freshman year that were like highly ranked McDonald's All-American type guys, Scottie Hobson, Al-Farouq Aminu, Greg Monroe, Samardo Samuels, wow, Willie Warren.
And to think, some of these guys could have been none and donners.
Yeah, I mean, they could have not gone at all and got a really rude awakening like a lot of these other none and donners did back in the 90s and the early 2000s. Kemba Walker was a 14th ranked guy at Rivals. Iman Shumpert, Klay Thompson. Klay did not look like an NBA player when I saw him at Washington State. So that's a bit of, I can't say that was like poor analysis. I think he just had to play his way into that role.
No, even like when he was like, how is this kid drafted? Was he drafted 11th, I think?
Yeah, and that was a little high, too.
Who is he? He looks like he could hit the three once in a while. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have much of a game. You know, and again, not a top recruit. He was ranked 51st. And once you get down to those names, it's just like, oh, wow.
Yeah, other ones included Chris Singleton, William Buford for Ohio State, who never really played a lot. Ed Davis at North Carolina. Tyler Zeller also went with him in North Carolina. Luke Babbitt, who plays for my Pelicans now, he played at Nevada. I didn't mention Aminu was at Wake Forest. Monroe was at Georgetown. Samuels was at Louisville. Warren was at Oklahoma. Scottie Hobson played at Tennessee. So that was that class. But even though that was a bit of a divot, the 2009 class was pretty strong in terms of one-and-doners, even if they were not necessarily did not necessarily become really good NBA players. There was just a lot of guys that went pro after that. Number one with a bullet was the number one pick, and that was John Wall.
You mean the 2010 draft?
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
It
gets complicated because it's the draft was the year after that, but they were high school recruits in the year previous. So this is the 2009 high school class, but they were drafted as one and doneers in the 2010 draft. So
yeah, this was the year the floodgates opened for this.
Mm-hmm.
With I remember John. It was always, well, John Wall's the best. How is he going to compare to last year? Is he better than Derrick Rose? Is he better than
Tyreek Evans? Yeah.
Yeah, now they started comparing the one and dones to all the other one and doneers, and this was just the year, I guess, sort of people realized we can do it.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned it. If I didn't, I'm sorry. Tyreek Evans was one of the top picks, and he went fourth to the Sacramento Kings after playing 1 year in Memphis for Calipari. Calipari left Memphis for Kentucky, and he brought along with him John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins. Wall
and all the other recruitings which Memphis has never caught back on with.
Yeah, so he kind of snatched him away. Another one was DeMarcus Cousins. We just talked about him. He was the number five pick to the Sacramento Kings. The other guy, I remember he was number one really on a lot of lists in high school at that time, and that was Derek Favors. And he played 1 year at Georgia Tech with Iman Shumpert, and he went to the New Jersey Nets. He was traded eventually in the Deron Williams trade and wound up with the Jazz. Avery Bradley was with Texas, played 1 year there. Texas that year had a lot of guys, and it was kind of a case of too many Chiefs and not enough Indians, where they had like a lot of big names, but none of them really wanted to do the dirty work, and nobody really knew their role, and I feel like Avery kind of got lost, and he kind of slipped a little bit, and he went to the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, that was, again, like I just mentioned, that was the knock on Texas, is they just get these high recruits and they don't know what to do with them and they don't have places for them, and they all start not falling in the draft, but there's just no – their games are exposed early.
Yes. A couple one-and-doners included Xavier Henry. He came out of Kansas out of 1 year. He was going to go to Memphis too. You're laughing already at his name. Why are you laughing?
Oh, because he's terrible.
Eric Bledsoe, I think we talked about him a little bit. He came from Alabama. He was thinking about going to Florida until Calipari swooped in and got him. Daniel Orton, oh man, he was one of the ones. We just talked about Torian Green and like those guys that kind of latched on. Orton was one of them because Wall, Bledsoe, and Cousins went pro. They became really good NBA players. Orton did not. And he shouldn't have gone pro. He should have stuck around another couple years.
Shouldn't have gone pro. Last I checked, I think he was with like in the D League for like mm-hmm. the third year in a row, making $20,000. It's just like, well, this is what you. That's why you came out, and you're now one of the cautionary tales. Which we have another one in this list, but this list just, you know, there's a lot of people who came out early, but there's just a lot of like complete unknowns.
Yeah, and just because you spent a year in college and then you went pro doesn't mean you can't be a cautionary tale. It doesn't mean like, well, I'm safe because I played that 1 year in college and I learned. It's like, no, you didn't necessarily learn by playing 1 year and then going pro. The example that we were talking that Adam was alluding to was a Marshall recruit, and his name was Hassan Whiteside, which created a long running gag with me and my friend where we would sing his name, go Hassan Whiteside, you know. But yeah, he was a really long arm shot blocker, but I mean, really? I mean, no,
you know,
no
that
business
was
going pro.
No business going pro for, you know, Marshall, and oh, he's a shot blocker. Well, I've learned all I can learn from here. Good enough. You know, he was one. Lance Stevenson was he's another high school top recruit.
He was a big time Brooklyn recruit. Even though Cincinnati didn't go to the tournament.
That's all you need to say right there.
Yeah.
The team wasn't good with him.
Yeah, they were better
and,
without him.
You know,
that's true.
Keith Gallion from another
Tiny Gallion. He was kind of like Renardo Sidney, another guy we'll talk about later. Oklahoma with Capel had really bad luck. He struck fire with Blake Griffin. After his sophomore year and winning the Naismith Award, the Wooden Award, he went pro. And he tried it out with all these other McDonald's All-Americans like Willie Warren, Keith Tiny Gallon, Tommy Mason Griffin, who was another guy that went one and done that year and wasn't drafted and probably everyone knew wasn't going to get drafted. And that cost Capel his job because he just got the wrong McDonald's All-Americans. He got the wrong high school recruits, even though they went one and done because they thought, well, Blake did it after 2 years. Well, I'm going to be just as good as Blake. And it's like, no, you're not, you know?
Yeah, and then there was, you know, there's those, you know, rumors of too many text messages and too many calls and illegal recruitings. And, yeah, you know, there's too much rumblings for a tiny Oklahoma program. And good.
A lot of them that stayed were John Henson at North Carolina, Jordan Hamilton at Texas. He was a teammate, or he was recruited the same time as Avery Bradley. Michael Snare at Florida State, Muftau Yaru at Villanova. I remember talking about him actually on one of the very first podcasts I did for Place to Be Nation, or the Place to Be podcast with Justin and Scott. I remember we had a long conversation about Muftau Yaru. The Ware twins, David and Travis, Mason Plumlee at Duke. Wally Judge, who was at Kansas State, then transferred to Rutgers, and then I think he transferred somewhere else after that. I don't remember. Peyton Siva at Louisville, Ryan Kelly at Duke, Kenny Boynton at Florida, Alex Oriaki, who won a national title at UConn and then transferred to Missouri. So, you know, it was an interesting class. I don't think it was, like, elite. I don't think it was as good as the 2006 or 2007 class.
No, but, again, with there's just – you had just – not depth, but you just had too many people coming out. And, you know, Latavius Williams, well, I'm going to go to the D-League because that's better for my career. I'm just going to bypass college. And Renardo Sidney, who was illegally recruited every which way and tried to come out as a high school, or he tried to, you know, come out after his first year, was suspended his first year at Mississippi State for illegal everything.
Mm-hmm.
And just did absolutely nothing in his college career because he was going to be a none and doneer.
Mm-hmm.
Way back when, and just it's just a lot of there was just now the floodgates were open, and now you're getting people who can't take it back, like Daniel Orton. And
yeah, now the McDonald's All-American game and the Jordan Brand Classic, which is a different different affiliation, but pretty much the same participants, they would come in, and even though they were not even though they would have to wait a year because they would play in college, everybody would be zeroing in on these guys, watch the game. And then even if they didn't play that well in high school, they would still convince them, look, you're good enough to go pro. And that's where a lot of these one-and-dones come in. The 2010 high school class that became one-and-doners at for the 2011 draft, I thought that one was pretty weak. You know, Kyrie Irving went number one. He played at Duke. He didn't play a lot of games, though, because he suffered a toe injury. But he was pretty good. I mean, there were a couple other ones, like Tristan Thompson. I felt like he came out too early. Brandon Knight was okay at Kentucky. Tobias Harris left Tennessee because Bruce Pearl got fired. Corey Joseph at Texas, along with Tristan Thompson. That was too soon. The real cautionary tale was the number one overall recruit from that class in the eyes of many, and that was Josh Selby, who went to Kansas. And, I mean, I don't think anyone's heard from him since.
He was, yeah, on the number one recruit of high school. I'm the top guy. That's basically where his career ended.
Yeah, he went to Memphis. He played well in summer league, and then he was immediately traded.
No, he went to Kansas.
He did. Well, that's what I'm saying. He went to Kansas. But
I thought he meant he went to Memphis. I'm like, nobody went to Memphis after Calipari.
Pastor's done an okay getting some recruits, but not nearly the way Calipari has and Bill Self has. But what I meant by Memphis was the Grizzlies.
Oh, the Grizzlies. Okay.
The Grizzlies drafted him, but he didn't do much after that. And Enes Kanter was not eligible because he played for a Turkish pro league, so he had to sit out the whole year. He played 1 year doing nothing, and then he went to the NBA, and he was drafted third by the Jazz. That's unbelievable. The other ones that were in that class that did not go pro immediately stuck around. One surprisingly was Harrison Barnes, but it didn't surprise me because after watching him for a year, I knew Barnes wasn't that good.
He benefited from a second year in college.
I don't know if he even benefited that much because that second year he was the same. I felt like he didn't get better.
He didn't get better, but
he didn't embarrass himself.
We're talking in context of none and done.
Oh yes, like and, if he had gone, you know, straight
to one and done with Josh with, you know, Josh Selby, who's MIA at this point. Harrison Barnes, maybe I won't go. You know, he still parlayed that into a number 8 pick, so. Yeah,
Barnes was highly decorated out of Ames, Iowa. He played in the same high school as Doug McDermott. And I remember everyone was in love with him. They thought that he was going to be the new savior at North Carolina. He played well, but he wasn't awesome. Some of his teammates that came with him from that class, I think that included
Ed Davis?
No, Ed Davis was a few years before. It was Reggie Bullock, who eventually wound up getting drafted years later, and Kendall Marshall, who stuck around for his sophomore year and got drafted the same year as Harrison Barnes. You know, that North Carolina team in 2012 was damn good. You know, they lost to Kansas because Kendall Marshall broke his hand in the tournament. But they had really good players. Jared Sullinger surprisingly stayed another year. I thought that was a guy that was a definite one and done.
That was a surprise that he stayed, and, you know, everyone's like, oh, he hurt his stock, but, you know, he's doing fine jacking up threes for the Celtics.
Yeah, one-and-done guy that didn't get drafted was Jeremy Richmond at Illinois. Does that one ring a bell?
Who?
Thank you. The other ones include Fab Melo at Syracuse, Deron Lamb at Kentucky, Patrick Young at Florida. That was a really highly ranked recruit that every year I would look at NBADraft.net and they would always say, before the season started in college, they would always say, Patrick Young's like a first-round guy. And I'm like, no, he's not. Please stop saying that. Just because you're 7 foot doesn't make you a fucking a first-round draft pick. And thankfully, he stuck around for 4 years because that was a benefit to him and to the University of Florida. Deshaun Thomas at Ohio State, C.J. Leslie at NC State, Perry Jones at Baylor. These guys really benefited from sticking around. Victor Oladipo at Indiana and Shabazz Napier at UConn.
Yeah, Oladipo was – I was surprised when I found out.
He was a low prospect.
Guy. Yeah.
Nobody really knew him, and he kind of came out of nowhere. I don't know if he had a growth spurt his senior year in high school. I don't know if he just was better than a lot of the scouts thought. I'm not sure what it was, but people didn't really think much of him out of high school. And then by his sophomore year in Indiana, he was awesome. Like, I could tell immediately he was going to be one of the best players they had. And Napier won a national title as a freshman, but the guy in front of him was Kemba Walker. And so he really didn't have a lot of pressure on him. And, I mean, it worked out for him, though, because he stuck around until his senior year with Kevin Ollie, and they won a national title where he was the leader of the team.
Yep.
So going forward from there, we have the 2011 high school class, and now my heart is a flutter because my number one guy is the number one guy on this list, and that's Anthony Davis. He came from Illinois, and went to Kentucky, and the rest is history.
Yes, let's just start.
I'm getting emotional right now.
Put him up on Mount Rushmore right now for you.
That's a big unibrow. Could you walk across that unibrow if it was Mount
Rushmore? You know what? He's still rocking it, so you got to give him credit for that. But this is another year of too many people coming out, and like a lot of people just getting bad advice or almost.
Well, I mean, Austin Rivers. I mean, he was big time in Florida, in the state of Florida, when he got recruited by Duke. Did you see a lot of him, and did you think he was an NBA player?
No, I didn't think he was any good at Duke. Everyone's like, this is the number one kid. This is the number one kid. I'm like, where? You know, I also thought that was like sort of a down NBA draft to begin with, but I didn't see him dominate as I expected to, and obviously he would have done more damage if he was none and done, I think.
Bradley Beal was awesome. I think people knew that immediately at Florida. Now, Florida did not play well in the regular season when Beal was there, but he played better in the postseason, and that boosted his stock, and he wound up going third to the Washington Wizards. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist gets criticized for going too early, but I'm going to be honest with you. Kidd-Gilchrist was a complete player at Kentucky. He was just better in the college game than everybody else in his position. So I did not criticize him for going pro. In fact, I kind of expected it.
Well, back at that point, that's the everybody from Kentucky is going to go pro.
Yeah, it was not just him.
If you were a sophomore at Kentucky, it's like, well, what's wrong with you? Did you get injured? If you're a junior, it's like, did you not get the message?
But it helps, too. Look at Willie Cauley-Stein. You know, he hurt his ankle, so his stock was low, so he didn't go pro. He's a junior now at Kentucky, and he's a fucking machine, you know?
Yeah, but okay, going back to Kidd-Gilchrist, did he score in college? Did he just
He had outbursts. I remember he had a game where he scored 25 against North Carolina. When they had the regional games where they played Indiana and Baylor in the tournament, he was the most outstanding player for that region. He was a guy who, for certain games, would just explode. And he was also a complete player because he was good defensively, and he was good at attacking the basket. Everybody knows what his problem was in the NBA. You know, you play against a lot of more athletic guys at the small forward position, and he's been overmatched, and he's a terrible shooter. And everyone knew that was going to be a problem for Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and it continues to be one for him. But at Kentucky, he was awesome. Andre Drummond reclassified. He was going to be the number one high school recruit in 2012 going to UConn, but he decided to come out a year early. And even though UConn didn't have the best year, Drummond was pretty good.
He was the only real.
Well, they had Lamb, but
Lamb, he's not any good, and he's pretty much shown that, I think.
Yeah, others.
That's just my opinion.
Others, but, yeah. Go ahead.
Not bad.
Mo Harkless was one that came from St. John's. Tony Roten at Washington, he went pro. Marcus Teague, we talked about the Kentucky guys kind of jumping in. The other one was, as a sophomore, was Terrence Jones. And Quincy Miller at Baylor, he went pro along with Perry Jones, who was a sophomore at Baylor as well. A couple of them that stuck around that year, one was LaBrian Nash. Thank God he did, because if he had gone pro after 1 year, I don't know what would have happened to him. He's still at Oklahoma State.
I'm going to say whatever happened to him now.
He's still at Oklahoma State. I think among the – I actually diagrammed it. I think among the players that were kind of like highly ranked in the 2011 high school class, the only ones that are still in college right now – are LaBrian Nash at Oklahoma State, and the other guy is Brandon Dawson at Michigan State. You know, some other guys that people may have heard of include DeAndre Daniels, who won a national title at UConn, James Michael McAdoo, Kem Birch.
Whatever happened to him?
Which one?
Kem Birch.
Kem Birch, I think, got a roster spot in training camp with the Miami Heat, but I don't know
if he beat the team. I remember he transferred.
Yeah, he went to Pitt.
He went to Pittsburgh.
And then he transferred to UNLV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just disappeared.
Exactly. The other ones included Otto Porter Jr., Ben McLemore, who actually had the red shirt because he was academically ineligible. So he could have been like Ricky Lito. He could have been a guy that spent a year in college and then just went pro without playing. But he stuck around and he played.
Because he went to Kansas and not Providence.
That's true.
There's a big difference. But
what kind of terrible school is Providence?
this was the year of, like, just I thought it was completely overrated. Like, Austin Rivers showed me nothing. James McAdoo I thought was terrible. I'm like, well, these Duke, UNC, these are the two big guys. I'm like, why? Who says these are the two best guys?
I think what helps that class, though, is that it's got a lot of depth, because P.J. Harrison came from there. Michael Carter-Williams came from there. Kyle Wilcher was okay. He's now at Gonzaga. Kentavious Caldwell. Did I already mention Kentavious Caldwell-Pope?
I don't think so.
KCP. He went to Georgia. Our best friend, Cody Zeller, he played in Indiana. And then Wayne Blackshear at Louisville. So I think they have a lot of depth. But, yeah, there's a lot of guys at the top, like Rivers, Nash, Quincy Miller, that really weren't worth a shit and probably had no business going pro after 1 year. So I agree with you there. For the 2012 class, that's the one that, you know, came out of high school and went to college in 2012, and then they were drafted in the 2013 draft. That one is kind of – I mean, it's like the whole – let's be honest. The 2013 draft's one of the worst ever. And it kind of shows when you look at the talent that came from that class. You know, you look
like
at
Ricky Lito.
Ricky. Justin Rosero is gonna literally. I think he's gonna delete this file when he reads it, when he listens to this. The number one guy was Shabazz Muhammad. Shabazz Muhammad, I heard, actually stuck around a year longer in high school, so he was actually a year older than a lot of the players he was playing in Las Vegas, and that's why he looked so good.
Yeah, that was the thing of just, you know, what's his age? I'm like, really? We're in 2012 and we can still have age shaving, and
look at what happened in North Carolina. We're still in an age where we can't figure out people are cheating classes.
Well, that's sort of expected, but how can you not know how old somebody is and how the school is just like, okay, whatever. But I'm telling you, he's totally 15, but he drove himself in. No, he's 15.
Yeah, the number one was Muhammad. He went to he made a big deal out of his recruitment. He went to UCLA. The other was Nerlens Noel in his big high top fade. He went to Kentucky. Kyle Anderson, he stuck around though at UCLA. He went with Shabazz Muhammad. The other ones that so we talked about Noel, he tore his knee even though he still was drafted pretty high. We talked about Muhammad, he dipped because he did not have a great year freshman year at UCLA, but he still got drafted in the first round. The number one pick was a shocker, even though he was a one and done, and that was Anthony Bennett at UNLV.
Yeah, but it wasn't his fault that he was the number one pick.
Yeah, but it's his fault that he can't play.
This is the cautionary tale now of one and doneers. You don't know really what you're gotten. You got people who coaches are no longer now dedicated to coaching them anymore. It's just like, okay, I know I have you for 30 games. Go do your thing. If you leave, you leave. Bennett, you know, is he a tweener? Is he sort of learning? Does he need to put on weight or take off weight? Yes. Should he have gotten number one? No, but is it his fault? No.
Would you consider Ben McLemore a one and done?
Yeah, he's a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, I guess.
So that was just, you know, due to high school things, but I would say yes. And but again, he had the extra year of practice, but what does practice really show you again with Ricky Lito?
Ricky Lito, we keep razzing because Justin Rosero is a Providence, proud Providence, Friar, but, he played one, he was ineligible and he went pro after that 1 year. Chris Dunn stuck around, but Ricky Lito didn't. Grant Jarrett should not have left Arizona after 1 year. I don't know why he did. Archie Goodwin at Kentucky. The same. I felt like Calipari kind of forced him out because he didn't want him. So, you know, Calipari doesn't want every player he gets. You know, sometimes he gets a player and he doesn't like him. And I felt like that happened with Archie Goodwin.
Well, that's the thing. It's just like, well, I need to open up this roster spot for next year's top 10
player. And some
player.
Of them don't work out. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, you better go. You expected to be one and done. I'm expecting to be one and done. So go. I have too many scholarships I have offered for next year.
The only one we didn't mention that was a one and doneer was Steven Adams from Pittsburgh. He got drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder. A couple of them that did not go to the NBA directly. There's actually quite a few. Some of them are still in college right now. Kyle Anderson at UCLA, Isaiah Austin at Baylor. I mean, what a terrible story, but what a really inspirational story. He played
it's a great story because he didn't just collapse on the court.
Yeah, well, not just that. He played with a glass eye.
Well, yeah, with a glass eye, and he's going to be the first player to be legally blind in one eye to make it. And
then he had Marfan. Then he found out in the workouts he had Marfan syndrome, which is a rare blood disorder, which prevents him from doing competitive sports. So he had to retire immediately at 20 years old. But really sad. He was a 7-foot long arm guy who could shoot. He was very nice player, and it's just a shame it had to end that way. Alex,
super classy by the NBA though to
give him
to
a
call
spot.
Him up. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very nice of Adam Silver to do that. Alex Poitras, who we were joking about at Kentucky, he's still there even though he's probably done now that he's torn his ACL. Caleb Tarzewski at Arizona, still there. Marcus Smart at Oklahoma State. We all know he's with the Boston Celtics, Marcus Smart. Nick Stauskas at Michigan. That was a really good recruiting class they had there. They had Glenn Robinson III, Mitch McGarry, and Nick Stauskas.
Yeah, they did, and as good as these recruits were, Ricky Lito was number six.
The names start to populate a little bit because you got guys like Brandon Ashley, Marcus Page, Yogi Ferrell, Rashid Suleiman, Gary Harris, who went to the NBA after 2 years, TJ Warren, the same, Rodney Purvis, who's at UConn now. A lot of these guys now that we're getting closer and more recent, some of these guys are still in the NBA and either haven't made a decision yet or they're still trying to figure out what they are.
Well, now they're just apparently damaged goods since they weren't one and done, right?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, like Muhammad's played better for the Timberwolves lately. So I don't want to say he's totally damaged goods. You know, I think that was one of the reasons Corey Brewer got traded, because Muhammad started playing so well.
Well, that's the thing, is you need to open up these minutes for these young guys to develop.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the best thing for the Timberwolves is to have Rubio go down. So now we know, hey, you know, Zach LaVine can play.
Mm-hmm.
And Shabazz Muhammad can give us something. Anthony Bennett has shown signs of life.
What do you think of Nerlens Noel in Philadelphia, even though the team's been a dumpster fire?
I'm waiting for him to score.
I think we all are.
I thought he tore his ACL, not both his arms off, because he's just... I think there the hype was like, oh, he might be the under-the-radar rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, well, you're not that good yet.
Defensively, he's good, though.
Defensively, he's good, but defensively, he's not great yet.
That's
he's
true.
He's not as dominant as he was in Kentucky, blocking everything.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing. That's the other, you know, that's sort of the overlying theme of the entire one and done is that, you know, you get a little bit of a, you get a little bit of a punch to the face when you go to college because, you know, you're in high school, you're the best player on your team, you're dominating everybody, you're scoring like 40 points a game, 30 points a game, and all this stuff. And then you go to college and then you don't play against big boys, but you play against adults. You play against people who have been around the block for 3 or 4 years, maybe players who are not really that good, but they're in their early 20s sometimes. They red shirt, they get waivers, and you know, you play against guys that have been around for quite a while in the NCAA, and they're not great players, but they'll make life miserable for you. And you also have to compete against good, you know, coaches that know how to game plan against you because you have all this hype, everybody is looking to you, so they want to game plan against you.
Yeah, it's a different world playing against 21-year-olds against playing 15-year-olds.
Yeah, and then there's the difference between playing the 21-year-olds and the NBA guys. I mean, that's
exactly.
I mean, now it's not. Is it as bad as when you're in high school and you're playing the 15-year-olds and then you go to the NBA? No, that is like That's like Flintstones. You remember that movie, The Flintstones and the Jetsons, when they met?
Yeah, it was just bizarre.
It's kind of like when the Flintstones go to like Jetson City, you know, whatever the place that place called. And this is more like me going to the Jetsons.
Yeah.
None of this makes any sense, but...
But now we're getting, you know, like, just, you know, I'm just going to keep reiterating again. Now we're getting to the point of, you know, we're getting people who... Kyle Anderson would have come out. He would have been on your probably Pelicans with a high lottery pick.
Yeah, he's with the Spurs now.
You know, they would have been... They're better off staying these years, these kids who are still in school and... Marcus Smart developed because he went to Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
He probably would have been a bust if he just went. He would have been like, you know, just an eighth man.
Yeah. Now, this one that just came up was the 2013 high school class. That one was pretty loaded. That was the one that got a lot of hype. And did a lot of it kind of make a fart noise at the end? Maybe. But I felt like a lot of these guys that came from the high school class in 2013 and played the 2013-14 season in college, I thought those guys were really good. Number one was Andrew Wiggins. He went to Kansas after playing at Huntington, West Virginia, originally from Canada. Number two is Julius Randle. He played at Kentucky. They played in the national championship game. Aaron Gordon, I remember watching him as a high school senior because high school players can also play for USA Basketball as amateurs. And he played with a lot of the college kids for the under-19 squad. And Aaron Gordon was awesome. And I remember thinking, this dude, I would probably let this guy go to the NBA now.
Yeah, and did he benefit from a year? Yes, because...
Yes.
We learn now he can't shoot and he just can just run around.
Yes, he's not a good shooter at all. But he's been doing okay as a rookie with the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, until he got injured and now.
Yeah, he had a broken foot, I think. If you know, you think about that, and a lot of the rookies have kind of been thunderstruck. Look at Jabari Parker with the torn ACL. He was like – it was really Wiggins. Do you remember it being kind of Wiggins, Parker, and Randle getting all the hype?
No, it was just Wiggins getting the hype. And
yeah.
this was the guy you need.
Mm-hmm.
This was – you know, it was then Randall and then Parker came into the picture, but it was always just Wiggins. This was the guy you need to tank for.
Well, Wiggins reclassified the summer before that. You know, the difference was that Andre Drummond reclassified in the spring and immediately became eligible for recruitment for that session. With Wiggins, he was going to be a junior that year, and then he said, okay, no, I'm going to play senior ball. And then he became eligible, and that's when he leaped over Parker for the number one spot. But Parker was really good. He came from Chicago, just like Anthony Davis did. And Randle came from Texas. And I remember thinking after the end of the season that Randle was the most complete player, Parker was the best scorer, and Wiggins still needed work.
Yeah, and really what Wiggins sort of is just like – who is it? Like Martell Webster.
Mm-hmm.
Or he if he came out, he just would have been buried at the bench. And we know he takes time to develop now. We know he isn't going to be the next T-Mac or Kobe.
Yeah.
So it
would have been tough for him. He would have been one of those, like, we talked about a million of those guys that went out of high school and they were great athletes, Josh Smith maybe, and they would have had to learn under other people's wings for a long time before they emerged. And I think Wiggins is kind of in that position now in Minnesota. I think he's in a toxic environment as it is, but that's just my...
No, he's quietly developing. He's getting his points. He's learning.
Well, he's the rookie of the year by default because of Parker's injury.
Well, he's the only one who seems to be standing right now. If you're not going to, you know, if you're not going to give it to Teletovich or Mitt Rodich.
Yeah, others that went one and done, Noah Vonleh at Indiana, a big man. He was okay. Zach LaVine, who you talked about, he came from UCLA, a one and done-er. Another one from Kentucky was James Young, a left-handed forward who could shoot. He plays for your Boston Celtics, but has he played at all?
No, he's been only in the D-League at this point, and that's, you know, the reason, oh, we need to get rid of Archie Goodwin because I need to get this, you know, I have a recruit in James Young coming in, so I need your scholarship.
Yeah, and then there's Tyler Ennis. He played really well to start out at Syracuse, and then he kind of slowed down a little bit, but he got drafted 18th by the Phoenix Suns. I don't think we've seen much of him just because there's so much of a bevy of guards at Phoenix that I don't think we're going to expect him for a little
while. Yeah, that's the problem with these. You know, it's not their fault for coming out. They chose to come out, and you end up in a horrible situation with 17 combo guards already.
Yeah.
Not much you can do, you know.
Yeah, guys that decided to stick around, the Harrison twins at Kentucky, Chris Walker at Florida, who's like a giant tease. Everyone says, I mean, Chad Ford always has Chris Walker first round in the latest mock drafts, and it's like, I don't understand it. I've watched him, and he's just not, he's athletic, but that's all I see, you know. And then there's Dakari Johnson at Kentucky, Casey Hill at Florida. We didn't even talk about Joel Embiid, did we?
Nope.
Oh, yeah, Joel Embiid was a guy that kind of surprised people. He was like – he was a highly ranked recruit, but he wasn't like in the top 10 or the top 5.
He wasn't super high, and just – he's another going to be – I think he's going to be just like Noel and just has no offensive game.
I think he's a little better than Noel because offensively he's more complete than Noel. But, I mean, I mean, how much worse can you be than Noel offensively? But – you know, some include these are just kind of notable names. I don't think they're necessarily like best players ever in college, but some include Anthony Kett Barber at NC State, Keith Frazier at SMU, Kennedy Meeks at North Carolina. This guy I do like, Rondae Hollis Jefferson at Arizona, Demetrius Jackson at Notre Dame, Wayne Selden at Kansas, Isaac Hamilton at UCLA, Marcus Lee at Kentucky, Bobby Portis at Arkansas, and Jarrell Martin at LSU, all still in college as we speak. So, I mean, have you been able to – I mean, I know you're not a college fan, so I think we're getting to the point in this podcast where I'm talking about names that you might not be as familiar with or you don't really know at all.
Nope. I sort of – unfortunately, I'm sort of falling into the whirl of, well, let's just wait till the tournament, then I'll start paying attention. And the conference tournaments, and
I'll kind of take it away there with the 2014 class, because that's the class with the freshmen that are playing now. So I would try to make a. I mean, I guess I'll just have Adam ask me.
Okay, so
about it.
That's what I'll do. We'll just do. I'll just name off the top 10. Uh-huh. You let me know if they're going to be one and done.
Okay.
So we obviously know Emmanuel Mudiay.
Moutier will definitely be pro. He's only playing in China because
he's playing in China. Supposedly there's attitude problem concerns, but that's China, and they try to get any reason to get rid of you.
He is definitely the best guard that came out of that class by far. Because I've watched the other guards, and some of them are good, but they're not as good as Moutier.
There's only – the funny thing is I actually know one of these players in this top 10 list.
Oh, who's that?
Tyus Jones. Oh. I remember from
– when we get to him, we'll talk about him a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just start. We know he's going to go. Jahil Okafor.
Yeah, he's a one-and-doneer. He might be like Sullinger and stick around because he wants to play for Coach K. And like, say they lose to Kentucky for the national championship, and he kind of feels bitter and he wants to come back, but I don't really see it. That's the only way I can see that happening.
Even Coach K said he's one and done, and Coach K never says that about anybody.
That's true. He's really good, though. He reminds me a little bit of – he's like a combination of Jared Sullinger and Tristan Thompson. A good – a solid defensive center, but very efficient offensively. But he's not extremely athletic, but he's not like, he's not a stub. You know, he can definitely jump over you.
So let's say Philly gets number one pick. You're going to have him and Bede and Noel being three centers. It's just...
When it comes to the top, I don't think it's the strongest. You know, the guys that people look at number one is Okafor. The other one we could bring up is Karl Anthony Towns, who's a big man out of Kentucky. I think the guy that Philadelphia did win the lottery, I think the guy that they would probably go with is Stanley Johnson out of Arizona.
Okay, so so both of those are going then.
Towns
and Johnson are both going.
Yeah, which ones you said?
Karl Anthony Towns and Stanley Johnson are both going to be one and done.
I think Anthony Towns will go pro because he's a guaranteed top 10 pick, and you have to go pro in that sense.
Okay.
So Stanley Johnson, yes.
Cliff Alexander.
Yes, he will go pro after 1 year.
Has he really been – Kansas has really been sort of, you know, which I know – the only reason I know is I've heard about how terrible Kelly Oubre is.
Kelly Oubre has not really done much so far. I think it would be ill-advised right now if he decided to go to the NBA, but the season's not over. Kansas got destroyed by Kentucky, but I don't know if you've been paying attention. I mean, I'm a fan of the school or of the basketball program, but Kentucky is absolutely destroying people. Like, they have, like, one of the most loaded rosters I've ever seen. They have, like, I'm not even kidding, they have, like, 11 NBA players. So, for Kansas to get destroyed was not... It's not the best barometer to go by. It's more like how good are you against players that are might kind of closer to your kind. And I think that Cliff Alexander has been pretty good. I think he's a guy that has been pretty impressive.
Okay, Rashard Vaughn.
And UNLV?
UNLV.
He needs to stay another year.
Another of those mystery UNLV guys who just disappear.
Yeah, Dave Rice has done a good job recruiting guys. He's the one that got Anthony Bennett. But this is a guy that he's had decent numbers, but he really shouldn't go pro.
The player I know, Tyus Jones.
He's really good. And it depends on what Duke wants to do, because Quinn Cook is a senior and he will be gone after next year due to graduation. Can Krzyzewski convince Tyus Jones to stay a year? He reminds me a little bit of Kyle Lowry. You know, he's just a guy that just kind of keeps coming after you.
Yes, I knew him because I used to do a couple of the Minnesota high school championships, all the basketball ones. And by default, yes, he's the best player on the court because you're going against, you know, Mr. Minnesota was a kid named Quentin Hooker who went to University of North Dakota. Mm-hmm. So that was your Mr. Basketball of Minnesota. And, you know, I remember seeing this kid as a junior. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
He's gonna be good.
When they went to Wisconsin, and Wisconsin are pretty good. They have a pretty good team that has like experienced guys like Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker, who are both gonna be probably NBA guys. And Tyus Jones took over that game. He really played well. The only downside to Tyus is that he doesn't have very long arms and he's kind of short. So, the thing I will say about Tyus is that he's a good shooter and he's a fantastic dribbler. So he could dribble like circles around you. So he's a solid point guard. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot.
All right, the last two on our list, Miles Turner and Kevon Looney.
Kevon Looney at UCLA is really good. I think that might be a situation where he'll go pro just because his numbers are good, even though he's on a not-so-great team. The other one that you said was Miles Turner at Texas. Texas this year is one of the best teams that they've had, but I don't think Turner's really had the best number so far. So I don't know if that would be a wise decision for him. I'll give you a couple of guys to look out for, and I'm not saying that they're going to go pro, but I'll say that if their numbers keep rising, and even if the team's not that successful, I could see like the tide turning on agents convincing them to go to the NBA, because let's be honest, there's a lot of these guys that shouldn't go pro and go anyway. One is James Blackman Jr. at Indiana. Another one is D'Angelo Russell at Ohio State. He's a really good player. Justin Jackson at North Carolina. Justice Winslow at Duke. Devin Booker and Tyler Ulis at Kentucky. Tyler Ulis is a little bit like Tyus Jones. You know, a small, very efficient point guard. And some other ones I can mention, Chris McCullough at Syracuse. I think he'll go pro because he like leads the team in everything: points, rebounds, steals, blocks. He's a do-it-all type of forward. And another one that I think a lot of people are going to like is Isaiah Whitehead out in Seton Hall.
Okay.
I mean, the thing is, like, right now...
A lot of names you listed. It's going to be that deep of a class, you think?
I don't think it's that deep of a class. I think it's one of those situations where once the hand goes into the jar, you got to grab a few cookies. And, like, even if some of them aren't that good, you know, the hand's going to grab them. You know, and I think, you know, when the agents come calling and it's like, hey, do you want to go pro? You know, it's a weak class. Because it works the other way too, Adam. It works in a way in which they say, hey, this class isn't that strong. If you go pro, you can leap into the lottery and you can make more money. You know, and so players that aren't as good because there's an opening at the top decide to go pro. The way that backfires, though, is when too many of them go pro. And then they get lost in the shuffle. If that makes any sense.
No, it makes sense. I gotcha.
But I don't think that many will. I think the ones that are guaranteed that we were checking off, Okafor, Moutier, Stanley Johnson, Anthony Towns, Cliff Alexander, and I think those are – and Kevon Looney, I think those are guarantees. I think Tyus Jones will stay, and I think Kelly Oubre will stay. If Duke wins the national title, though, I think those three freshmen will all go pro. I think Okafor, Jones, and Justice Winslow will all go pro.
All right, you heard it here first. The 2015 NBA draft preview.
Yeah, so you need your 2015 NBA draft preview. I just gave it to you. There's a couple of good like sophomores and juniors and seniors that are going to probably be at the first round level. But really, when we're talking about the good ones, we just listed them. The really really good ones are the ones that we just listed. Except for the Kentucky lineup, you could just go to their website and read it, and that's probably going to be half of the NBA draft. You know.
Yeah, but the problem with that is, as we mentioned, for every Anthony Davis, you have a Daniel Orton.
Yes, that's true.
So you have 10 NBA players. You're going to get a couple that are like, why?
Well, and that just Calipari is not the architect of the none and done, of the one and done. He's just been the most advantageous coach. What I think is tricky, I think what's been fascinating with this one, that this mega team, this like freaking Monstars type of lineup he's built out there in Kentucky this year, is that he convinced a lot of those top recruits last year, like the Harrison twins, Willie Cauley-Stein, Alex Poitras. He convinced a lot of them to stay in school while a lot of these other freshmen came back in, and they run this platoon system that doesn't really exist, where they try to make everybody feel good about playing lesser minutes. But the truth is, they all play well together. I don't think they mind playing less minutes, because if you wear that Kentucky jersey, that's enough for people to watch you. And that's all you need.
Okay.
As long as you're successful, because Archie Goodwin wore the Kentucky jersey and didn't work out so well.
No, there's a lot of – there's going to be, unfortunately, more now as these one-and-doners are coming in and coming out, and you have the you have, just again, like you said, you have 11 NBA potential players on your roster. Eventually, you're going to fall to a situation where you're going to be on a team where they don't need you, and then you get traded around a few times, and then nobody cares about you, and then you find yourself in the United Arab Emirates League.
you said you like the one-and-done rule, so I'm not going to ask you the question about whether or not you think a lot of these people could have skipped college altogether, because you like the fact that they all played at school at least 1 year. But I will ask this. Do you think it would be beneficial to make college kids stay for 2 years?
2 years? I don't really know, because I don't – you're just sort of creating a backlog of people then. You only have a certain amount of scholarships available, and if you have people who are stuck there – for 4 years, and you know, you have the Caliparis, that would sort of ruin their franchise, knowing I'm stuck with this kid for 2 years. I'm stuck with Archie Goodwin, mm-hmm. and I can't get rid of him.
Well, you can transfer, and then you play.
But nobody's transferring and sitting a year out, and the transfer rules are just crazy and
arbitrary. Yeah, we can talk forever about how terrible the NCAA rules are with that stuff.
Would it help college? Yes. Would it help the NBA? I don't know, not really. It's
like, would the players be developed by playing another year? I would say
some, yes.
Marginally, but not much.
Well, yeah, because like a lot of these, like you know, you were ranting about James Young, and he's just toiling away in the the main red claws. Not learning, you know, these kids still aren't learning the fundamentals.
That's true. And that's what I'm saying. You go to college and you're not learning the fundamentals anyway until you get to the NBA, and then you really find out what you're made of.
And then you have the NBA coach like, well, I'm not going to teach this kid fundamentals. I have, you know, I could just pick up this veteran. I could pick up, you know, Ronnie Turioff, who's a great locker room guy. He's a leader. He's, you know, cheaply priced, and he knows the fundamentals. And you're going to be, you know, if you're going to.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, if you're looking for a player who's going to be this year the 11th man on the bench, and you're going to be, you know, DNP CD a lot of the time, you want that veteran guy who's been here as opposed to the kid who's like, I don't know anything. Why is anybody teaching me anything?
Do you feel like the one-and-done guys or the guys that are freshmen in college that leave after 1 year, do you feel like that they get the least amount of hands-on coaching or they need more hands-on coaching?
I think every player needs coaching equally. It's just you have these one-and-dones. It's just like, well, why bother? They're not going to go to classes. I know they're not going to even be academically eligible for the upcoming season because probably they not. Know they're going pro. And
mm-hmm. Well, they got to go to their workouts instead of going to class in the spring.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So they're already on the training court, and they've already hired their full-time trainers
that,
and everything.
But that can backfire because there's that new rule about the APR index in which if your grades dip for your overall, like it happened in UConn, then you could lose a tournament bid.
Yeah, it does, but I don't understand that very well because you have these one-and-done kids. You can't – it's based on, like, graduation rates. If the kid's not one-and-done, you can't fault them for leaving early. They leave before they can't – they leave before they're academically ineligible.
True.
They just drop out of school as opposed to that just sort of bypass. If I say, well, I'm done, I'm just going to drop out.
Yeah,
okay,
the last thing these players want to wind up becoming are statistics. You know, and that happens to some of these guys that we mentioned. There's a lot of them that are really, really great players. You know, all stars, guys like Derrick Rose, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant. But you know, Greg Oden is kind of a special place. I don't want to like besmirch him, but I feel like Oden was a guy who really deserved the hype, but it just didn't work out in the NBA for.
Well, he just got injured. But you know, again, you know, look at Ken Birch. He was the shit coming out of high school, and then you went to two colleges and you're not in the NBA and your career is done.
Look at Austin Rivers, my best friend with the Pelicans.
All you have now are just more statistics.
Mm-hmm.
For better or for worse. Will two and done do it? I think I'm not opposed to one and done and sort of developing a D league as just sort of like a rookie league. That might help players where you can sort of learn fundamentals.
Yeah, but a lot of the players don't only do that if the college option has been eliminated.
I agree. But, you know, you mentioned like 20 names of freshmen who could come out in your mind.
Yes.
Not all you said should, but you're like, well, you wouldn't be surprised if you heard that many names. It's
well,
just
because
like, well,
even on a bad team, if your numbers are inflated – the GMs start to salivate over it as they stare at it longer and longer, and then if they start liking those guys, then when the agent looks at the sheets of all what these GMs like, if your name's on that list, he's going to tell you to go pro because you're going to get a promise to go in the lottery, whether you deserve it or not.
Yeah, and then all it takes is another player to fall to him, and then mm-hmm. this guy starts falling, and then you have a Hassan Whiteside. You just bounce around, and it's a cautionary tale either way. And a lot of these times, these players aren't doing it thinking fully of what's happening. They're just like, "Oh no, my dream was to go to the NBA. I'm going to do it." Okay, you played 5 minutes. Now you're now toying around Eastern Europe.
That's true. Just because you're living the dream doesn't mean you can't turn into a nightmare.
Yeah, nobody's saying these guys shouldn't check out their names and shouldn't go through the process. That's why they have that rule: you can come back once.
Yes,
you know, once you declare. Well, oh, don't.
There,
hire
there's
an
some
agent.
Interesting ones. There, I'll give you one that's interesting that actually came from Kentucky when Tubby Smith was still there, and that was Randolph Morris. Randolph Morris, after his high school year, he declared for the draft, but he did not sign an agent, which is not normal. but he didn't get drafted. So he was able to stay with Kentucky. And this was interesting. When the tournament was over, he became an unrestricted free agent.
And then the Knicks picked him up, and he did literally nothing in the NBA.
Exactly. And he became another statistic, like we just said.
Exactly. So I'm just going to wrap up the podcast by just giving you this quick list.
Mm-hmm.
These are players from Oak Hill Academy.
Okay.
We mentioned William Avery
mm-hmm.
earlier. Carmelo Beasley, Steve Blake, Desigana Diop, Durant, Steven Jackson, Brandon Jennings, Ty Lawson, Ben McLemore, Ron Mercer, Rondo, Josh Smith, Jerry Stackhouse.
Wow. That goes all the way to the early 90s with that school.
Those are some damn good players going through those.
Now, they weren't all there at the same time, obviously.
No, but it's just something a factory.
So, wait, Durant played at Oak Hill?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he transferred. A lot of his kids.
PC his senior year?
Yeah, same thing with McLemore. McLemore went there, then he went somewhere else. But they all went through. Beasley transferred through there as well.
Very cool. Oak Hill's a good one. We talked about Huntington.
Finley Prep. St.
Benedict's is another one we talked about.
St. Benedict's and Jared. There's one in Florida who I can't think of. Is it Montrose Christian?
Yeah, Monteros Christian, yeah.
Yeah, there's, but yeah, it's just like, yeah, we keep joking about Oak Hill. It's just like, wow, you have all these players playing there either for a year or just do their, final year there. It's just like, damn, they know how to funnel people through.
It's either that or the AAU teams where nothing is proven and they go out of high school to the NBA. So I'd rather it this way anyway. That's going to wrap up this episode. I'm sure everybody enjoyed if you listen to the None and Done episode, I'm sure y'all are going to enjoy this one because this is just a follow-up of all those guys. We talked about a lot of names. Some you'll never remember. Some you'll never forget. And then some that are just kind of hanging around, which is basically what the NBA kind of constitutes at the end of the day for the most part. Guys who are just trying to make a check. So, It's pretty enjoyable to see a lot of these guys stick around in the NBA and make something of themselves, even if they only spent a year in college. At least you got to wear that jersey in college for 1 year, even if you didn't really mean it, So, any parting shots, Adam?
No. Do not expect a follow-up to this one, the two and done, because
two and through?
At that point, it's just
you mean
who
two
cares.
And through?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of sophomores. And then there's the juniors and... The truth is, most of the juniors that go to the NBA are usually not that good.
Yeah, they're the diamonds who fell through. And
yeah, they're not the diamonds in the rough. They're the cracked diamonds in the bottom of the toilet. It's the truth, sorry. Okay, on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. I'll see y'all again. Take care, guys.